This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Minicamp's open. Carolina Panthers flashing a dynamic, varied, explosive offense. And we need to talk to Julian Council about this. Locked On Panthers podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Julian Council. Also, you get golf takes if you follow Julian Council. We're not going to have time to talk about Liv, but I will just say this. I think you're understating what's going on. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a very big deal.
I don't really disagree with you, Adam. I think with the long-term health of Liv Golf, if we want to even call it that, is going to hinge upon if they can entice these young amateurs coming out of college to go to their league. And if they do that, we're not going to see the Colin Morikawas, the Scottie Schefflers, and all the other guys that we didn't know about 2 years ago come into the PGA Tour. So, yeah, no, it's certainly a threat. Like the guys that Kevin not interested in them anymore, the Lee Westwoods, whatever, Ian Poulters. But they got the young kid from Arizona State last week who was pretty darn good out there at Greyhawk in Scottsdale. So that's one of the concerns. But the Pyatt guy and the other dude, Ogletree, the USA, those guys aren't even good anyway.
That is true. All right, we'll have to talk about this more another time because I think there's a lot more stuff about this. I'm going to bother Chip Patterson about this at the top of the hour. All right, let's talk about the Panthers. I want to start with, before we even get to the Cam Newton stuff, I want to start with what we have seen, or at least I haven't seen it. I've read about it from minicamp. Sam Darnold going over the top to Terrace Marshall. Christian McCaffrey with a big hole being opened up by the offensive line, running for 60 yards and a touchdown. Have the Panthers become a dynamic, explosive offense, Julian?
No, it's June 8th, so I can't go that far right now, Adam, to say that they're explosive and dynamic.
I know.
Maybe during OTAs they are, and it looked like, apparently from what I read as well, that Sam Darnold looked awesome today. So what? It does not matter. It's good. It's awesome. I mean, it's good to hear that he's getting good reps because this time last season when he was coming into what was then Joe Brady's offense, we did hear of early struggles for Sam Darnold trying to grasp the system and how he looked with his receivers and the rapport or lack thereof he had with them early on. So if he feels comfortable in his new scheme with Ben McAdoo, who's trying to get him back down to basics, that's an important thing. And it's also important for Terrace Marshall, who this time last year was not a participant at all, as he was recovering from that knee surgery that he had and spending most of his career at LSU being injured. Now to have him out there getting reps as the number two wide receiver while Robbie Anderson is back in Miami, he'll be back next week for mandatory minicamp. I think that's a positive for the Panthers, who obviously need someone other than DJ Moore to step up. And of course you'd want Robbie Anderson to bounce back this upcoming season.
Yeah. Look, if Marshall could end up being the two, because I've never thought that Robbie Anderson was anything more than like a lesser version of Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn had explosive ability and he was a threat. You had to be aware. I think Robbie Anderson can be that guy. That would be great, but I don't see him as a one or a two.
I think that's fair. I think he's a lot better than when he showed last year. We know that. We saw what he looked like in 2020 when Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback. And you can maybe point to Sam Darnold and his struggles last season. You can also attribute that to the offensive line and think that, hey, maybe with better quarterback play, like we saw. And it's not like Teddy Bridgewater lit the world on fire, but he did have four guys on an offense that went over 1,000 yards from scrimmage that season with DJ, Robbie, Mike Davis, who then went to Atlanta last year. I don't think he's even landed anywhere so far this offseason. And then Curtis Samuel, who spent the entirety of last season injured up in Washington with Ron Rivera as he reunited with him. Like, we've seen Robbie have success with decent quarterback play. They didn't get decent quarterback play last season. So, yeah, I don't look at him as being, like, obviously a high-end starter at the number two wide receiver position, but he's certainly capable of what he showed last season and just getting even close to what he was able to produce in 2020. Should have this offense bouncing back in 2022. And hell, let's get some other guys involved with the tight end passing game, which is something that has been a hallmark of what Ben McAdoo's done in the past in his previous stop, of course, most notably with the New York Giants.
Yeah, hopefully they can identify a tight end that can actually catch the ball down the middle of the field. That would be awesome. Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. If there's one thing that you are looking for over the next week or so, what is it with the Panthers?
It's got to be a development of Matt Corral. That's going to be the name that we're going to talk a lot about. We're going to wonder where he's at throughout the entirety of this offseason. Now, they have next week a mandatory minicamp where they'll really start ratcheting things up. And if you go back to what last week Ben McAdoo, the OC, had to say, was right now they're just kind of doing installation. It's not necessarily like the jobs are on the line. They're not really competing, but they are trying to lay the framework and foundation of what this offense can look like in 2022. And you have Corral coming in here, Green. He's going to have to learn really what McAdoo talked about, a lot of the communication that goes from the end of the play to the beginning of the next play. Where in college, you're looking over the sideline, you're just getting those visual cues. It's the verbal cues that are also going to go hand in hand with him in trying to learn how to be an NFL quarterback, his footwork, all the fundamental things that they're also trying to work with Sam Darnold. They're getting Matt Corral fresh out of college and trying to be able to lay that foundation with him. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to see what he can do and what he might look like and what kind of leadership role he can even have in this locker room. Now, I expect Sam Darnold to still be the week one starter, but the faster you can get Matt Corral possibly up to speed, and I'm someone who thinks that he probably should just benefit from a redshirt year. Mm-hmm. Right now, looking at the quarterback room, PJ Walker, we know that he's not going to be someone who's going to unseat Sam Darnold. Maybe they go out there and make a trade. But right now, looking at the three guys in that quarterback room, you're going to need Matt Corral to really come up to speed, just knowing that Sam Darnold in his career has never played a full 16, now 17 game schedule. And he's also not played at a high level. So you're going to need Matt Corral, the Panthers are, to get to a point where if you need to call on him at some point this season, that you trust in him. Because I think it makes a lot more sense to have Corral go out there as a backup if they call upon him than having PJ Walker, who at this point we know is, you know, just another guy.
Right. He's barely an NFL quarterback. There's no question about that. All right. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. There is a guy out there who insists that he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world. Yeah. I know you watched or you know, checked out the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark from ESPN, in which Cam Newton essentially blamed the learning curve for struggles in New England and also struggles in Carolina. What did you make of what Cam had to say?
I don't disagree with him. And yeah, I did my due diligence and went back and listened to the whole thing. Because I think a lot of times we don't do that. And I just wanted to kind of get the context of what the conversation was. And I think Channing Crowder is also, he's a former NFL player, also one of the co-hosts of that show. And he was just saying, hey, Cam, like, you're not one of those guys anymore. And he was more so speaking from the way the NFL views Cam Newton as not being one of those top 32 guys, which is fairly obvious as we sit here and Cam is still not on a team. Like, the Panthers let you know how they felt about Cam Newton in the last 2 weeks of last season when they started Sam Darnold on the road against New Orleans and they started him on the road in week 18 against Tampa. And you can say, oh, well, they traded for him the contract, all that, yada, yada, yada. Come on. Clearly, they feel like Sam Darnold gives them a better opportunity to win. Now, do I necessarily agree with that? I mean, they lost seven straight games either way with Sam and Cam starting at the end of last season. And he does bring up a good point, though. What could you reasonably expect from Cam? And I think I talked to you that day, as excited as I was and a lot of people were that Cam Newton was back, especially how things ended there in March of 2020 as the Panthers allowed him to seek a trade at a point in time where all the quarterback monies and position had already been fulfilled that offseason. And of course, he was able to sign off New England later on. It didn't put him in a good spot. And it was a bad look for David Tepper and the Panthers and Matt Rhule when he had just first come to Carolina. So for him to come back – when you never thought that would be the case, and hoping that he could save the season. I just felt like we got too caught up, because the Arizona game, the first two touches were going for touchdowns, were great. Right. The role that he played, that might have made more sense for the role that he should have played throughout that time. As, yeah, he's trying to learn the offense. He looked great against Washington. And if he was somehow able to maintain that for the final 5 weeks of last season, or 6 weeks of last season, then you could see that Cam could possibly be here, maybe get a second stint as a starting quarterback in Carolina. But as he said, I came here, played on Thursday, played on Sunday. Then 10 days later, I'm a starting quarterback. And then after the bye week, that Sunday, they fire Joe Brady. So it's not like they put him in a great situation with the offensive line being terrible, but also him trying to learn, and then you're getting rid of the play caller during that period of time. So reasonably, what can we expect from Cam Newton? He's right, but he also signed up for that. He didn't have to do that. He also signed up to go to New England, and now he's not on a team, and he's going to be in the same situation where he's trying to learn the offense in a time crunch if he's actually trying to compete. Because it was the same case in July of 2020 when he signed New England, same case November last year, and it'd be the same case now, as multiple teams are already having mandatory minicamp, and the Panthers and the rest of the league have theirs next week. So he's going to miss the entire offseason program. So I don't really know what good he does himself by saying this, other than, hey, I'm going to defend myself. Cam Newton's not necessarily washed. Like, he's not the same guy that we saw in 20. Let's go back to 2017, or really 2018, the first half of that season. I don't think he's as bad as what we've seen, but he's certainly nowhere near what he was before, which is why I understand why other teams would rather go with a younger guy and see what he can develop into than going out there and getting a 33-year-old Cam Newton who's had the foot, the shoulder, and all the other sorts of injuries throughout his career.
I mentioned this earlier. Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, is joining us here as we say goodbye. He doesn't do himself any favors by saying there was a learning curve in terms of learning the offense. He had, I don't recall exactly how long of a preseason with New England, but enough to be up to speed with the offense by the third or fourth week of the season. The COVID, I think COVID hurt him with New England. I think it hurt him physically with New England. The second game of that season against Seattle, he was a star. I mean, he was awesome. All right, but here's my point. You tell me if I'm wrong, and this is going to have to be our end. Cam just doesn't look like he can throw the ball. And he doesn't look like he has the arm strength anymore to be an effective passer in the NFL. He can't get by just with his legs. He has to be able to throw. And I just don't think he can throw anymore.
I always held this, and I don't think you're wrong at all. I mean, that's also, it's your opinion. So like,
it's true.
It's not necessarily like you're wrong, but I always felt, even when Cam was at the height of his powers, when he was here in Carolina, that the day where Cam Newton was no longer a threat with his arm and his legs, that the Carolina Panthers were going to have to move on. Because I never saw Cam as a guy who can just sit back there in the pocket and dissect the defense.
Right.
And I felt maybe like I was wrong there for a minute, the way he looked in the first half of that 2018 season with Norv Turner when he came
tremendous.
Here. And kind of turned him into captain checkdown, but it was working. It was efficient, and he was had the highest completion percentage of his career. They're 6-2. You're talking about, hey, is Cam now an MVP? You're kind of a reinvented Cam Newton after the shoulder. Because, I mean, he had the shoulder injury back in the end of 2016, came back in 2017. They were struggling, and he turned that team around and carried them to the playoffs, where he had Kalen Clay and Brenton Burson and Devin Funchess as his top three receivers. And quite possibly the best game he ever played as a Panther in that wild card round loss to New Orleans. But I agree with you. He's not the same guy. The arm strength, it's just you don't really see him. Even when you get back to that Seattle game in 2020, week two, when he was at New England, the throw that he had down the field to Julian Edelman was still just a touch underthrown. Mm-hmm. And then last year, the one throw he had to DJ Moore was still just a touch underthrown. And I think, I remember it was week two of 2021 against Tampa, and everyone's wondering, oh, it was Cam's shoulder, right? And he throws downfield to Curtis Samuel, and it was still a touch underthrown. Like, he doesn't have the same arm strength that he had. And how could he after the shoulder surgery and injuries that he's had? So, yeah, he's certainly a depleted skill player that he was, but I think that maybe he could help a team if he was given the full offseason program. At this point in his career, though, it's very clear the NFL is just not interested in Cam Newton, and Cam Newton has to understand that. And if he wants to be a part of the league, he's just got to accept a backup role and maybe make the most of his chances if he ever gets another one.
Television work. He can be the next Tom Brady. No.
Well, we don't even know if Tom Brady is any good at that. And
he's going to be terrible at it.
I know. And as a homer here, I'm like not happy that Greg Olsen got screwed over there by Fox.
I'm with you.
He's so good at it. And it's just, all right, Drew Brees, we already saw. awful at it. Announced today that he's leaving NBC, even though that was said like a month ago. He's terrible. Yeah, Tom Brady's been great everything in his life, yada, yada, yada. Okay, we'll see if he can come in and actually be good enough. And again, people don't watch the games for the announcers. They watch them for the players. So sure, Tom Brady, good luck, and we'll see how it goes. But I can't imagine he's going to be better. Greg Olson, awesome, a homer.
I'm with you on that. At Julian Council on Twitter, show up for the Panthers takes and experience the golf takes. At Julian Council on Twitter. Thank you very much. Locked On Panthers podcast. Talk to you soon, man.
All right. Next time we're talking all live golf.
You got it. You got it. It's going to be around. It ain't going anywhere. They have bottomless money, so it isn't going anywhere.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
We can talk about Cam Newton. We can talk about, is 66 worse than 22? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. Actually talked about both of those things already. Does Tampa Bay lead the series 2-2? Oh. Lightning drew even with the Rangers last night with a 4-1 win. And then NBA Finals Game 3. The overwhelming winner was Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about this with Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast. And I referenced this before. The first eight games of 2018, before the injury against Pittsburgh, these are Cam Newton's numbers. He's completing a career best 67.3% of his passes, more than two-thirds of his passes. He had been historically in the high 50s, right? Yeah. Mid to high 50s, right? 66, even though, like, there are reasons for that. We'll get to that. So completing two-thirds of his passes, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and he had been still running the football. 342 yards rushing through 8 games, maybe a little bit less than he had in the past, and 4 additional touchdowns. He lost no fumbles. 4 turnovers, mm-hmm. 19 touchdowns, halfway through the year, more than 2,000 yards accounted for. He was in the process of having a spectacular year.
Yep.
Then he got hurt. They got crushed by Pittsburgh. He got sacked several times, and I believe the last one was a T.J. Watt mm-hmm. sack, and that's the one that ruined his shoulder. And we can sit here all day long, and I think that Cam hurt himself by talking about not learning the offense.
Yeah.
I think he hurt himself by talking about that. But, man, he just can't throw. Why is that hard? Why is that so hard to grasp?
Yeah.
Maybe he can't grasp it.
Maybe.
You know, the athlete in all of us doesn't want to admit that the skills have diminished. The physical, not the other stuff, the physical skills have diminished. And I think the physical skills have diminished.
I get what you want to say that, okay, in 2020 there were no OTAs, there were no mini camps because of the pandemic.
Right.
Okay, but you're still there during training camp, and you're sitting there saying, well, it's week 7-8, still was trying to learn it. Well, there's no team out there that's going to hear that right now and sit there and say, well, we should bring this guy in because he'll pick up the offense quickly. You know, that's kind of – in my mind, if I'm an executive, that's what I'm hearing. Like, well, if he's not going to learn our offense quickly, why should we bring him in now? If that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Here was his game against Seattle. Week 2 of the pandemic year, right? Mm-hmm. 30 of 44 passing, 397 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and he had 47 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns on the ground. He was a star in that game. And then after that, it was nothing. He had just an occasional good game. They basically became a run-only team. Because he can't throw anymore. He doesn't have, there's not enough strength in his arm to produce downfield throws on a regular basis. there are times where it looks right, but more often than not, it looks like it hurts. You can't do that in the NFL. You just can't. And then he sabotages himself by saying it took him a long time to pick up the offense. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.